And welcome to this first committee of the Community and Wellbeing. And we've got some new members, so welcome to the new members. You're very, very welcome. Can I ask everybody if they would switch their mobile phones off or put them on silent, please? Thank you. And I'm sure if we all work together in 12 months' time, we'll get some outcomes from this meeting, because I think that's what we're trying to achieve at any rate. So, thank you. And can I also ask if the committee are in agreement that if we have something on the agenda that is really important and that we appoint a task and finish review to work on that? Do you all agree with that? Yes. Any objections? No. Great, thank you. Right, so we'll start with the first item on the agenda, and that's the minutes of the 23rd of March. Is there any... No?
Happy for me to be signed?
Yeah. Yeah. Happy for me to sign it?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Apologies next, Chairman.
Pardon? Yeah, no, I was just looking at the... Because I thought...
Peter Jones and Anne Hobbs were on the last.
Yeah, I thought somebody was subbing there.
No,
for someone.
Not.
No.
No,
okay, fine. Right. Have we any apologies, please?
Yes, Chairman, apologies received from Councillor Philip Leeson.
Thank you very much.
James Nixon would be late.
Yes, thank you. We've noted that. Thank you very much. Public questions? No public questions?
No.
No councillor session?
Nope.
No. No members' items?
The members' item is the...
The item five, yeah. Is the healthcare and overdose. Have you all read those? And and have you seen the one from the June the 13th, is it? 12th, 13th? You've seen that one as well?
No, I was there, thanks.
Definitely was, I remember that. Do you want to take a minute to read it if you've not read it before?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, have you all had a chance to look at that? Yeah, okay. And it's covered, of course, it's noted as well. So
yes,
it's, yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Just to bring you aware, actually, the two big things that we're looking at county are the doctor's access and dentistry. Just to bring you up to date on that, I thought you might be interested in knowing that. So they're two big items that we are looking at. Item six, called in items, said nil.
There's none.
No.
Thank you.
Right, so we've gone to item 7, which is on page 9 of the report. Julie, would you like to come to the table just in case anybody's got any questions or anything? Thank you. Has anybody got any questions on this committee? Anything? Anybody wants to say anything about it? You're all in agreement? Yeah?
Yep.
Yeah. This is just the policy for the licensing committee to work to in case we get anybody wanting to come and open the sex shopping. You know, I remember this coming to the committee many, many years ago, you know, and I don't think we've been inundated with sex shops in Stafford at all since that date. So it just gives them the policy, and all right, it is law-abiding, and yeah, so right, we'll move on to, so there's no questions or anything from that. Okay, thank you. So we move on to item 7B, which is on page 40. Sorry, 49, it's my glasses, yeah. It's all right. I know, put my glasses on, you're right, Sam.
You're not looking at all.
It's not. Okay. So this is the performance report, right. So we'll go through this page by page, I believe, and we'll... Okay, so we'll go on to item... page 52. Any queries on page 52?
I just wondered, although...
Anna, would you like to come to the table? Is this your... Yeah, thank you.
It says in 2.1.1 that there was a total of 3,000 to three groups. A bit further on it mentions warm space, but not specifically. I wondered which groups they were.
Can you provide a written response then to Councillor Hobbs' question? Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you. So we move on to page 53. Anything Mark got to say about anything on page 53?
When you say ongoing work with housing association and unloading schools to improve awareness and cross cutting the home, I don't know if you're reaching housing association one or building in Stafford.
For those you haven't met yet, Lee Boone, Interim Neighbourhood Services Group Manager, serving the recycling and waste contract, which is my responsibility. We are working with housing associations, we've made contacts quite successfully with a number of housing associations. The reason that work is in there is because of the communal areas of waste collection. So we sometimes find that contamination is a little bit higher in those areas, be a bit of a hot spot. So we've been out and carried out site visits with our contractor, Veolia, and put appropriate signage, spoke to those and spoke to health associations to try to make sure that contamination is kept
okay. So you can reassure me that you're speaking to Staff House Housing Association in Stoke?
Stoke.
They're based in Stoke. And they own some property in Stafford. And Sage Housing Association, who is based in London, who have also flats in my ward.
I don't know the exact list of housing associations. Okay. I can go away and provide a written response for the specific housing associations that we are in contact with. Do that.
Yeah.
Okay. You're quite happy with that, Councillor? Yeah. Yeah, okay. Can I just refer back to 2.2.3? I know it's talking about HS2 and the noise, but I mean, we've had a lot of complaints, I do believe, from... the Lichfield Road site and the GEC site, where the lot of pounding, a lot of residents are really upset about. I'm just wondering what's happened about that, if anything. Have we taken any testing or anything to find out what the noise situation is on the Lichfield Road site? I'm asking the question because it's here about HS2, but I do know there's a lot of residents out there that's very, very upset about pictures falling off walls and the houses vibrating. So can I ask the question, have you done any monitoring down there?
I'll do the best to answer that one, Chair.
Thank you, Neil.
So for benefit of those who don't know me, I'm Neil Clifton, Interim Head of Regulatory Services.
Thank you.
So I'm aware of the background to that particular case because one of my responsibilities is in the environmental health function within the authority. So a number of weeks ago we were contacted by a range of members of the public and local members who expressed concern about issues arising from that construction site,
yeah.
The former main works GEC site, complaining of a range of noise, dust and also vibration issues. as members will probably recall or be aware, when it was the former main work site, there's some substantial blocks
yes.
of concrete on the site
yeah.
that needed to be broken up.
Yeah.
So there's, on the planning permission that was granted, there are a number of conditions that were added at the request of Environmental Health at the time when the planning application was determined, and those conditions basically require the developer to follow a certain range of conditions which require them to pay due diligence to the wetland method of carrying out the site break up kind of arrangement. So the initial breaking up of the slab and the crushing of the concrete
yeah.
and so on. There's a second phase then which relates to the construction activity, and for that they will be, as I understand it, carrying out what's called a vibro-compaction method to basically create a solid foundation upon which the houses can be built. So the purpose of a site meeting a couple of weeks ago was to distinguish where the problems were at that moment in time, because my understanding is the initial phase complaints were largely about vibration, and that was from the demolition and the breaking up of those large slabs of concrete. So there's a joint meeting with Environmental Health and Planning a couple of weeks ago where the contractors were reminded of their responsibilities to comply with those conditions, and as I understand it, householders have been advised of that, and if there are any ongoing issues, then basically they should make their initial complaints through the planning enforcement function, and they will then engage Environmental Health officers to review the ongoing site works. So there's one of the things, certainly I can recall driving down the Litchfield Road quite recently on a dry day, and it's quite windy, and there was quite a lot of wind blowing dust and debris going across the Litchfield Road, and Spectre College in the office, and basically the what they call the water bowser, that's that device where it basically sprinkles water. It's not too glamorous, it's a very basic piece of technology. It's a big machine that's basically spraying water to damp down dust during those kind of times, and that bowser has broken down on that occasion. So things of that nature where, say, when the complaints arise, we'll deploy an officer. So normally in the first instance from planning, and Environmental Health will go in to support them as necessary. So it's not relevant directly to this point.
No, I know, but it's something that is out in the public, you know,
I'm
really concerned about the noise. But I do appreciate you giving a comprehensive answer. Yes, Councillor.
I'd like to ask the officer, because I've been informed as the ward member that this drilling operation that's causing all the vibration is due to be finished by the end of July, going into August, so to speak.
Okay.
Or, I forget now, it's the end of August. However, that's dependent on the weather and favourable circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
I'd just like to ask, are we having at the site meeting, are we on time in the completion date?
As you indicate, construction activities are weather dependent, so in terms of the time frame, it would be in the interest of the developers to do that pre-construction demolition and clearance work before they can then get on and start building their houses. It's in their interest to keep to a timetable. We can't require them to do so, we can't advise them to do so, it's at their behest. What we are there to do is to basically monitor the activity and make sure they're in compliance with the planning conditions. But what I can do outside the meeting, if it would be helpful, I'll speak with the planning case officer and see if we can get a written reply to you with an estimated timetable.
No, that'd be fine, because we want some not categoric, but some kind of reassurance just how long this operation is going to be carried out for.
I think it's a case of, you know, they've got to get the ground right to be able to build the houses, so it's that situation. But I think you've given a very good comprehensive answer, so, and I'm sorry for raising it there, but it, you know, it's about noise and everything, and I know this item was related to HS2, but it was, there's so many people out there concerned about it that I thought it was the right place to taking on Councillor Thornley's point as well. Okay. Well, thank you for that. Thank you. Thank you. Right, can we move on then to page 54, please? Anybody got any queries or anything they'd like to ask on page 54? I mean, the one thing about the leisure, but that's coming to our committee in quite soon, isn't it?
Yeah.
Freedom Leisure.
Next meeting.
Is it the next one? Yeah. Because one of the things I'd like to know is, what are we doing anything significant to that? Now we've lost the Iron Man in Stafford, are we going to do something else that we compensate for it? But anyway, we'll wait that for the next meeting. Yeah. So, any no more questions on page 54? Any questions on page 55? Has everybody got the new ASBO email address that's an item on the first item on that page? Yes, Councillor Nixon. Can you shout up? We can't hear.
Can I mention something on 2.4.2?
Yeah?
What I've discovered is, you know, a lot of people work online at the moment.
Yeah.
Obviously. Well, I've discovered that neighbouring authorities don't just talk to each other. So if there's an incident in Staffordshire, for example, and somebody's working online out of that area, that information isn't automatically transferred. There isn't a national database, it just stays within Staffordshire. So that needs to be addressed, really.
Can I ask Victoria to come to the table, and she might be able to put some light on this for you?
I can't answer for every contact, and some of this responsibility will sit with the county with safeguarding, but I can say, so I chair the multi-agent risk assessment for high-risk domestic abuse cases, and I can say that when somebody moves, their case does transfer with them. What I can't confirm is, you know, always what triggers that. So I think it's also with.
Well, I can confirm that that isn't the case and that isn't happening.
With young people transferring through care as well, I know that their cases move. So I think it's something that I could look into and ask for the procedure, but it would have to be through each department. I have to get in touch with the county. If there's any specific,
should I talk to you out of me?
Yeah, I think if we have a discussion outside of exactly what your concerns are, and then we can see what the mechanisms are and what the referral process is when people cross over the border.
Does that answer your question?
We'll meet after.
Okay, right, thank you. Okay, so we go on to page 56. Anybody got any queries on page 56? Page 57?
2.5.3. About the disabled facilities grant. We had that talk, didn't we, by a woman that was setting this up. I just wondered, is it all up and running? And
we've got that coming to committee, haven't we?
Yeah.
I think that's coming to committee as well, is it not?
Yeah, it's on the Jan meeting, but I think we're going to move that to March. So
we're going to move it from March to January?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's the other way around, from January to March.
From January to March. Yeah. It is on the agenda for this year, but it's not till next March, actually. Disability grants on. So does that satisfy you, your query?
Or just wondering where we're up to with it, really.
Yeah, thank you. We have put a presentation on the agenda for March this year, because we wanted to give a decent period of time for the service to be set up, running, and to start seeing some really positive outcomes. What I can confirm is that the service has got off to a very good start. There was a significant backlog that was passed over, as we knew from the previous provider. What we did immediately was phone every applicant on that list to explain to them what the process was, when they were next going to be contacted, just so they could have an understanding, the assurance that they hadn't been forgotten and we were processing the applications. As a result, we've had only one or two complaints, which, given the scale of what we have taken on, is quite considerable. We now have the majority of the team in place. I think we're just still missing one individual, but everybody is now working on the new system and it is going very well. The new systems are coming through as well, and systems and processes are working extremely well. we are looking forward to coming back in March with an overview of the whole year's performance, and already we're seeing a lot of positive things. So it's had, I think, as good a start as we could have hoped for, but there's still a lot of work that needs to be done, and we are still working our way through that backlog as well.
Is that okay? That's kind of your question. Thank you. Okay. Right. So now we'll move on to page of the performance indicators on page 58.
Can I?
Yes, Councillor Nixon.
I've been going each week to the House of Bread to keep an eye on what's been going on. And there are two people from housing visiting there each Monday and Wednesday, which is generating a lot of really useful information.
Can you can you raise your voice a little bit so people?
The rate of change is, so there's 65 homeless one week, then it went to 67 of a different amount the following week, but one of those people sadly died of an overdose. And they're keeping track of figures and are tracking how much Amy's time is being used up because what's been going on. And I know when we talked before, it wasn't considered acceptable to have to home people in some of the empty shops, for example, but we do need to work out some way of addressing.
Well, can we ask Anna?
I know
if
that two members of staff are off stick at the moment because of they're trying to deal with this and it's too difficult.
You mean two members of staff at House
staff.
Of Bread?
No, I believe there's two members of staff off stick here.
Okay, well, can we ask correct? Anna to come in and probably answer your query?
Sorry, could you repeat the question?
I've been monitoring through the House of Bread how many homeless people have been there, and I'm aware of a suicide that happened recently, and I'm aware of how many people are going through A&E because they're misusing different drugs and things. And it's an issue that, you know, we heard about in the 1800s, but it's 2023, and that would be, I appreciate this is a difficult problem to address, but can you help me somehow?
Have you got any answer for that,
okay.
Anna?
Thank you. I'm not trying to put you on the spot because it's not your fault. I'm just saying it's wrong, isn't it? We shouldn't have people in this situation.
Okay. First of all, it's probably sensible to clarify some of the figures. So the number of breaths we put isn't 67 or 64. We have a handful of rough sleepers who we know the names of. We work with them quite extensively. We have a weekly vulnerability meeting where we discuss the cases with all agencies there, including House of Bread, to update on what all agencies are doing to give support those who are most vulnerable.
So why are they providing me with such significantly different figures than more the same thing? And I went out with three pastors and I did see six in my street. Yeah.
So I suppose the difference between people who are homeless, so our service looks at homelessness, people who are, we prevent them being homeless and people who relieve their homelessness as well. They're not necessarily worth sleeping there. There is a significant difference between people who are homeless and who are worth sleeping. There are a lot of people who do surf as well, and we're also aware of those, but they often are staying with friends, with family, and they are not what we would count as the worth sleeper. But we are aware of them, and we're still willing to help and support them. I think if we take
Councillor Nixon, can you shout up, please? We can't hear.
Just saying, what can we do to help? What can we do?
Thank you.
Being proactive.
I think it's sensible to look at the narrative report on page 60 and 61, where it sets out about some of the changes we've been making to the housing action team to ensure we're able to provide the best possible service and address the needs that we're describing. I think as well what we can also say is we have extended the contract for use of the venue for emergency accommodation as well for those who...
Can you say that again?
We've extended the use of the venue. Which is emergency accommodation for those who are homeless. We are also working with Eagle House to increase the level of support provided there so they can take people with high level complex needs. We're also working with Humankind, who is the drug and alcohol provider, who also have a registered provider arm to provide accommodation and support. And we've now got 5 of their 6 properties up and running. We're also working with Turning Point to develop further high-level supported accommodation. So there are a number of things that are happening at the moment. We clearly work in partnership with drug and alcohol providers. You mentioned A&E. We've got Community Matron who provides support for the homeless. We work very closely with MPFT, the mental health provider as well, to work with them on support and provision for rescue prisoners who are homeless. So I think there's a lot that's going on in partnership with all agencies, including House of Rose as well.
Is there something that we can do to support the staff here who are trying to deal with this? Because it is quite an emotive issue, and it's not an easy thing that they're having to fix, and it's going to be stressful for you guys, because you're on the front line of it. So is there anything that we can do to support what you're trying to do?
No, absolutely. Over the last few years, we've worked very closely with HR on support provided for the officers, recognising it can be quite a challenging area to work in. So absolutely, we have that there as well.
Do you feel able to use it?
Absolutely, and we were discussing today more programmes potentially that can support the officers. We've also got some additional administration capacity in to try and reduce caseloads as well, so that the officers aren't dealing with as many cases as we currently have been or what we have been in the past. So there's a number of things going on at the moment that we're looking at to reduce the pressure on the staff as well, as well as provide that more pastoral support too.
Can I ask one more question on that?
Okay.
Is that all right?
Yeah, fine, carry on.
Through speaking with that network, I'm aware that the House of Bread premise is soon to expire, and they're seeking to find somewhere different, and they're querying the ownership of the former Blind Centre building, and I'm just aware that this is a very well-used service, and they need support to find something, because that's a lot of people that are being helped within that.
I appreciate what you're saying, Councillor Nixon, there, and I did have an email from Will from the House of Bread asking about the Blind Centre, which I sent on to the County Council. It's up to the County Council, it belongs to the County Council, to see if anything can be done with the House of Bread, so that is the situation, you know, it's out of our remit to sort that out. Okay.
Well,
all right. No, you're welcome. You mentioned mental health, so just and that's another big thing on the agenda at the county as well. And also, just to put you all aware that the money that we got from the 3-point-something million that we got for mental health is being invested in a crisis centre at St George's. I visited that centre a couple of weeks ago with our MP. And it is going to be for all ages. That's if police are picking someone up and they've got mental health. Instead of the police taking them to A&E, they're taking them then to be a crisis centre, and it's just for children as well. So that's a really good step forward, you know, to help the situation. I'm just telling you that out of interest, actually. It's not for this committee to discuss or whatever, but just out of interest, because it's on our doorstep. So
there's a lot of information that I have that would help with Children's Venture Health, so if I can help you with that too.
Thank you, Councillor Nixon. Yeah, thank you.
Can I just ask what age the children would be taken there?
They just said all ages. We're going to have a meeting actually with them to get more information, so, and then we'll take that to the County Health and Care Committee.
Let me know.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting to hear about it here,
wouldn't it? Yeah, it would. Yeah, I will bring it up, you know, when we get any more information, but we hope to have a meeting sometime and find out. I think it's a really positive step forward. Okay. Yes, Councillor Thornley.
I meet these rough sleepers as being the ward member. Well, I've got to know them both say, the last 6 months. And can I ask how quick that process from when they first report to the this building and until they're taken off the street, you know, and gave accommodation? Also, I don't know whether the facts are true, but I get told that there's people that get taken off the streets for rough sleeping, and then the same people end up much further down the line back sleeping rough on the streets. Can you give me some update on this sort of thing that I hear? I hear it regular. I don't know whether it's true or...
Okay, through you, Chair.
Yes, sir.
Obviously, every rough sleeper is different. Every rough sleeper has different issues that they need to address. What we can generally say, though, is that housing isn't often their key issue, although it's absolutely essential. It's often their other support needs that need addressing before they're able to sustain sustainable accommodation. We work with each one individually. Each one has a plan with how we engage with them, how we work with them, what support we offer them, and all partners, what support they offer them as well. If it was as simple as just simply giving them the keys to a property, then that would be one matter. It's about giving them the ability to be able to keep that property as well, and to ensure that they don't lose that. So we can't say when somebody approaches us at this day, it'll take us X days to be able to sort issues out, because every case is absolutely unique. The solutions are going to be different for every person, and there's no standard case where we can say exactly how we work it. What we can say is that we will consider individual circumstances. We work really closely with all partner agencies, and we will offer accommodation where we're able to.
Is there any truth, though, in the question I've just asked? People that are taken off the street end up back on the street.
If they can't sustain the accommodation, absolutely. And we will continue to work with them, though,
to ensure we find
the next accommodation for them. But the idea is to ensure that they have any issues are addressed, and the support continues to enable them to sustain that accommodation. Unfortunately, we can provide as much support as possible, but we can't control what happens.
Thank you. Councillor Nixon, you want to ask a question?
I've seen that happen in action. Can I try and generalise what I saw? It was somebody who was homeless. We managed to get her support and got her accommodation, but it wasn't just one, it was a few. People still chose to come and beg in the high street in the same way that they had always done, and it was partly down to habit and partly down to this is how I meet my friends and this is what I do.
Yeah.
So it isn't just, yes, you've got a shelter now, it's the whole, you don't need to be doing this anymore, let's try and move forward.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's kind of mental health, but it's like planning forward, isn't it?
Yeah, I think we've also got to remember there's some people that don't want to be homed. They want to be homeless.
They quite enjoy. Mentally processed it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, we've got to bear that in mind as well. You can help people as much as you want, but some people.
And one particular individual did die shortly afterwards.
It's a very
complex issue.
Yeah. Okay, so we're still on page 59. Has anybody got any more queries on that? I mean, I look at the L152, you know, about the crime in the borough, and I get the impression that it's up slightly. Victoria, thank you. But I get the impression from the Police Crime Commissioner that it's antisocial behaviour is going down. So where is the conflict there, please?
So some of the figures probably relate back to times and comparing to times of COVID where standards were down. There has also been a change in police reporting as well, which wasn't Staffordshire Police's decision, it's a national decision, which means some areas of crime. So, for example, harassment was categorised as ASB, but now it's a crime type in itself, so it'll fall into crime. So some of that has affected the figures, so it's not really a true reflection. But it was always anticipated that crime levels would start to rise. Stafford has risen, but it is sort of in line with national trends as well. So it's not, I know any rise isn't great, but it's not suddenly that, you know, we've gone off the scale.
Yeah. Thank you. And can I just mention also, Victoria, the committee are aware that if you do get antisocial behaviour, that the Victoria and Helen Marshall have got sheets that you can have filled in, so you can keep, they can keep a record of what's happening. Are you all aware of that? Yeah. And you've all got the line to the email address to. Yeah, that's great. All right. Thank you for that, Victoria. Thank you. Right. We'll move on to page 60. Any queries on page 60 from anyone? Very quiet, so no, we'll go on to page 61. Any queries on page 61? Everybody happy? 62? Yeah, okay. Page 63? Everybody happy with page 63?
Can I just...
Yeah?
I just wanted to clarify, you said that it's... The crime has increased. It went down during the pandemic. Has it gone beyond what it was before the pandemic? Is that the issue?
No.
It's about the same as it was before.
It's about the same.
So it's sort of returned to the normal rate.
Normal level. Yeah.
Mm. Okay. Thank you very much for that. Thank you. Thank you, Anna. Thank you, Victoria. We'll move on to item 7C. Agenda item 7C. Health scrutiny joint of working arrangements. Has anybody got any queries on this? We're on page 64, sorry.
It's what? It's also going to council.
And it's also going to council next Tuesday as well. Yeah. So... Nobody? Everybody's quite happy? You're getting away lightly in here there, aren't you?
Happy to answer any questions.
Yeah. Pardon?
Just note the report.
Yeah. Just note then. Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much. We'll move on to 7D, business planning report. Page 75.
Yeah.
Anybody have any queries on that?
I kind of have.
Pardon?
I have.
You're right, Councillor Nixon?
It's been drawn to my attention that we can only discuss here things that only happen in Stafford and not nationally.
Yes.
But that's quite... difficult sometimes when there are such significant issues going on. So,
well, national issues are to
clarify.
So this is the last report. This is the joint code of scrutiny working across Staffordshire. So what that code says is that Staffordshire County Council scrutiny is the prime health scrutiny for the area, because most national health services operate over a wider area than Stafford and have policies. And boards that represent the wider area. So certainly after the Francis report before then, it was recommended that we need joint working practices with all the councils across the area to make sure that health scrutiny is coordinated properly, is focused, and avoids any duplication. So what the joint code seeks to do is clarify that for the health bodies who operate across the area, it should be the county council that lead the scrutiny on those topics. And a lot of health topics for the services that operate across the area will not just affect Stafford Borough, will affect the other districts as well. So that's why those issues need to be raised at the county council level.
Yeah.
Now, what the county council scrutiny will allow the borough scrutiny to do is focus on health scrutiny that just affects the borough. So it's an agreement as to how health scrutiny should operate across Staffordshire.
Yes, Councillor Nixon.
So how can we support county with that if it's something that's significant?
Can you shout up, please, so everybody can hear?
How can we support county with that process if there's something significant that we want to?
If there's anything that you feel that is Staffordshire-wide, from the, you know, then it can be taken to the health and care scrutiny committee at county.
And we can do that from here.
If yes,
through you.
Yes.
So bring it to here and then ask you to
Yes. You can appreciate, this came out because of the Francis report, this joint code of working. And I mean, I remember, I got interviewed by the Francis, of his name.
It's called,
I remember sitting in this room here and there's a load of everybody typing in the computers and whatever. It was very, very traumatic time for us all. And that came out because we scrutinised Stafford Hospital. And Stafford Hospital, it was Staffordshire-wide. People from all over went to Stafford Hospital. It wasn't just Stafford people. So this is where all this originated from, really, the Joint Code of Working. So you can understand that. Else otherwise, you'd get all the committees scrutinising that, and it would not be all coming together. Where they're trying to keep it all together, and we just scrutinise whatever happening in the borough.
I'm trying to do this in a helpful, supportive way. You can't necessarily help where the information comes from, can you? It's just making sure that it's
valid. This is why we bring to this committee what's happening at health and care. So anything that you... Yes, Ian?
Quite right what you said. So there's two opportunities in this scrutiny. You've got a report at the start where the representative from the county submits the report for what's going on at the county. You could raise issues which you want the chair to raise at the county council at that point, or you've got your work programme at the back where if you want to discuss there's an item of work that affects more than Stafford Borough, whether that should be a topic that's raised with the county.
Can I respond to that, please?
Yes.
Can I then write my concerns to you and then you direct where it should go? Would that be a way to do it?
You can write this.
Because you know what the policy and processes are.
If you can raise a query with me, is this something that can be looked at by the health screening, or is it something that needs to be pushed? I can give some guidance.
And then Can
I just say, Councillor Nixon, if you've got any queries or anything or any questions you want to put, please put them to myself, and I will take the leverage off Ian. You know, bring them to me or send them to me, and we'll take it up with the county. Is that okay? Does that answer? Yes, Councillor Thornley.
Just listening to what's been said here, and you'll remember this, Councillor Edgeley, when I was on that old health scrutiny committee, I quoted the year, say 2012, because it was definitely there, and you were on the health scrutiny committee at the borough as well. We used to go into the council chamber, and we questioned a woman from the county council. I can't remember the ins and outs of it. I think she was actually the chair of the county's health scrutiny committee.
Could
which
be.
Is obviously the position you hold now. And
I don't hold the one at the county. That
or whoever does like at the county. They used to come to Stafford, and not just those borough councillors from Stafford that were there. They were there from like Cannock and all over Staffordshire. Is that along the lines what we're referring to now?
No, that might have been probably something when we were putting all this together. I'm not sure. I can't remember that.
As part of the arrangement, so every district health scrutiny will have a representative that sits on the county.
That's what I'm asking,
And a county representative will also sit on, or is invited to sit on this health scrutiny if any local issues do arise.
So there's
getting that coordination and flow of information between the two.
There's nobody stopping you going to listening to the health and care scrutiny committee when it takes place. You know, sitting in the public gallery. There's no reason at all. You know, it's quite an interesting meeting, if you like. So that invitation is there. Okay, right. Any other questions on that? We've gone now to, we're on the agenda item 7A, which is on page 79, which is the work programme.
Is the business report approved?
I thought we'd done that actually, so I do apologise.
No, I think you introduced it, but we went back a bit. So
yeah. Sorry, I went back again. Okay, so we'll go back to page 75, agenda 7D. I thought I skipped over that. Well, Scott skipped over it, but I thought I'd gone through that. I do apologise. Any queries on that? We did go over it, didn't we? And then we went back. Yeah, because Councillor Nixon asked a question. Yeah,
thank you.
Okay. Right. Everybody happy? Yeah, thank you, Ian. Right, we're on now agenda item 7A, page 79, which is the work programme. Now, if there's anything that you feel we need on the work programme that's not there, please, you know, bring it forward and we can discuss it. It'll probably, it's a moving beast, the work programme, as you're all aware, you know, so anything can be added or put up, you know.
Yes, write to you or me or...
Yeah, you can write to James, myself or anybody that you feel, if there's anything needs to go on. Yes, James.
Would freedom of leisure be something that we would...
They're coming to our meeting on, well, in September, the 5th of September, yeah. Definitely, yeah. And if there's anybody, as I say, that you feel that we need to speak to or whatever, then please make your voices heard. Yes, Councillor Nixon.
Disabled Facilities Grants being talked about on the 16th of January. I thought that was something that we could hear.
I think Anna. She's coming in March. I mean, Anna brought that when she was talking to us before in this meeting, give it length of time to work and see how it's responding, and then it can bring forward. We've moved it backwards to March to give it more time. Is that okay? Do you want, yeah, right. So, has anybody got anything they'd like to add in the work programme? Well, give it some thought, because as I say, this is a moving beast, and we can always add or take away or whatever. And it's up to the committee. We're here to do a job. We're here to look after the community and well-being of the people in the borough. So we've got to work together to achieve that. And
we can add things to this.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So as we go along, yeah, sort of something might come up, and we think, oh, you know, let's add that along. So really, from this evening's meeting, we've got Lee's going to give an answer to. Councillor Aspin's report, and Victoria's going to speak with Councillor Nixon about the query that you'd got, and the disabled grants we've just talked about, actually. And mental health, as I say, is a big concern to us all. I will bring any reports or anything that I feel that this committee should know about to this committee when the time is right, and you know, so. Is there anything else that you'd like to say, anybody, or anything you'd like to mention?
Just one thing. I was looking at on the statutory observatory about domestic violence. How does it stand compared to the national average in Stafford?
Is that something that Victoria could probably answer?
Sorry,
we digress. We're going back again, but it's, you know, it's. You'll come back to.
I'll come back to you.
I think I remember. I'm sure it was above the national average. I'm just wondering if there's anything we can do, and that's in the borough.
Yeah. Domestic abuse rates are high in the borough. I will just go back and double check because we look all crime type.
Yeah.
So I don't want to misquote anything, but.
Is there anything that we can do as councillors in terms of prevention, support, or?
it's all about reporting and encouragement to report. You know, we know there's a lot, and just the support that we can give people. Again,
because people do report, we quite often find that they then go back on their decision to report, so it's just constantly providing that reassurance that we can help and put in correct interventions. And we do a lot of preventative work, a lot comes through the vulnerability hub, the weekly hub, and we have daily and weekly meetings with the police where we host people to discuss.
I think it's quite interesting what you mentioned about, I know we're nearly coming to the end of the meeting, but what you said about the hubs, Victoria, could you just explain a little bit more about what's happening with those? And there's one opening, I think, is it at Rising Brook?
So with the outreach, yes. So again, it's just about just encouraging people to report to us. So we quite often find that people are talking about incidents, AFB incidents, or any sorts of crime type, but and a lot of people talk about it and complain about it on social media, but actually the reports aren't coming in to us, so we can't deal with what we don't know. So we've looked again at hotspot areas for different crime types, and we're trying to get out into the community just to build those relationships with police and ourselves and other agencies. So it could be Harmony, who is a support agency for antisocial behaviour, or it could be United Statutory Against Hate, the Pink Crime Service. Street Pastors came to Rising Brook last week as well. So it's just about making communities aware who is available to them, you know, what support is available, and who they can contact and how to get in touch with us. So it was the first one last week.
Is there going to be two, or is that just the one that's going to be in Stafford?
The ambition is that it will move around. Looking at, so the safe place vehicle that's used by the street pastors in an evening, we are looking at ways to utilise that in the daytime as well, so that we can get not just in the town centre, but we can get to the outlying areas as well. But it was the first one last week, so it's just a bit of trial and error. So already we understand that we don't want the police officers in uniform. It put a lot of people off, although it does say we're here, you know. A lot of people turned around and walked away.
It would be nice, actually, Victoria, to keep getting some feedback from that, you know, just to see how it's operating, because, you know, this is...
What's being done.
Because this is the money where we get from the Police Crime Commission that's been put into some of this, is that not right?
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, Councillor Nixon.
I just want to take an opportunity to congratulate the Borough, actually, because I went out with street pastors a couple of weeks ago, and I could see how joined up you were with street pastors and... I think it was Hayley that was here when you were talking to each other, and I was just communicating to the police, and it was just so incredibly well coordinated, and the feeling of safety within the borough was just
good. Yeah. Really. Well, thank you for that. I think people
really
will appreciate
strong
it.
Sense of
I think there's a lot of good work goes off that we don't really think about or realise what is happening, and a lot of it is voluntary, so you know, we've got to say a big thank you to everybody out there that does voluntary work. And having said that, you know, I think we've virtually come to the end of our meeting, and I'd like to say, first of all, I do apologise, because I don't know whether everybody around the table, I'm talking about councillors now, whether they know one another, so really I should have gone round and ask you to introduce yourselves, so I do apologise. I'll probably do that next time.
My name's Cameron.
I think we know who you are, Peter. You're all right, yeah. So it would be nice, actually, because being new members and new on the committee, I'd like to say a big thank you to all the officers as well for giving up their evening and being here to answer any queries that we've got, and to the members, of course, and James for taking the minutes. So thank you very much. Have a safe journey home, and as I say, the meeting is now closed. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Madam Chairman.